Janma.
Janma.
Birth.
Birth.
Mrityasya.
Mrityasya.
Of the dead.
Of the dead.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Tasmat.
Tasmat.
Therefore.
Therefore.
Aparihare.
Aparihare.
Of that which is unavoidable.
Of that which is unavoidable.
Arate.
Arate.
In the matter.
In the matter.
Na.
Na.
Do not.
Do not.
Tvam.
Tvam.
You.
You.
Shochitam.
Shochitam.
To lament.
To lament.
Arhasi.
Arhasi.
Deserve.
Deserve.
One who has taken his birth is sure to die, and after death, one is sure to take birth again. Therefore, in the unavoidable discharge of your duty, you should not lament. Purport. One has to take birth according to one's activities of life, and after finishing one term of activities, one has to die to take birth for the next. In this way, one is going through one cycle of birth and death after one after another. One cycle of birth and death after another without liberation. This cycle of birth and death does not, however, support unnecessary murder, slaughter, and war. But at the same time, violence and war are inevitable factors in human society for keeping law and order. The battle of Kurukshetra, being the will of the Supreme, was an inevitable event, and to fight for the right cause is the duty of a Kshatriya. Why should he be afraid of or aggrieved at the death of his relatives, since he was discharging his proper duty? He did not deserve to break the law, thereby becoming subjected to the reactions of sinful acts of which he was so afraid. By avoiding the discharge of his proper duty, he would not be able to stop the death of his relatives, and he would be degraded due to his selection of the wrong path of action. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Vandeham Shri Guru Shiyatav Parakamalam Shri Gurun Navaishnavam Sha Shri Rupam Sagrada Tam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitam Sha Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare
Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This verse is not directly connected with bhakti. It is the underpinning of the quest for self-realization. The ultimate level of self-realization is bhakti, to understand that I am an eternal servant of Krishna, and therefore I should serve him. Maya means to forget Krishna. When we forget Krishna, we don't perform bhakti to him. When we come into Maya, then, by the way, just for your information, Srila Prabhupada several times said that when the class is going on and the temple curtains open or close, just go on listening. Don't bow down.
Okay.
Just keep the concentration. So, that we have to die. When we're in Maya, I was talking about Maya. Maya means Hoya Maya Das Korinana Abhilash. Have many desires. And bhakti means to desire only to serve Krishna. So Maya means, by the influence of Maya, we overlook the fact that we have to die, which is actually it should be the most overwhelming fact in our lives. Everyone knows we have to die. When Krishna says everyone who is born has to die, it's not a great revelation. It's not something that anyone else couldn't point out. Everyone knows that we have to die. But no one knows. It's one of those, we could say it's a cryptic saying. Everyone knows we have to die. But it appears that no one knows that we have to die. Everyone lives their life as if they were going to not die. But the fact is that we have to die, and it's the most overwhelming fact If we were aware of it, we wouldn't live the way we do. We live as if what we're doing now is important, but the fact that we have to die renders it all unimportant. When we were driving down here, we saw the sign, Crystal Palace Football Club, the local favorite team. If we just drive a few miles, it'll be some other football club, probably Chelsea Football Club is, if you go towards the west, northwest from here. People are very interested in this, but it's meaningless. In fact, everything, fighting for the crown, fighting for, there are so many wars which have been fought for the England, or they're discussing politics. Should we allow more immigrants? No, kick them all out. Different discussions are going on. People are dying in Iraq. It's part of the news. Well, people are dying in South Norwood too. Not only in Iraq. Of course, people in Iraq, they're more likely to die from what we might call unnatural causes than in South Norwood. They're more likely to die from being bombed or ambushed. But people are dying everywhere. But we're living as if we won't die. This is the great anomaly of life. This is Maya. Everything, whether one is the King of England, the richest man in the world, the most famous footballer, the most beautiful woman, whatever it may be, everything is rendered insignificant by death. Princess Diana, loved by millions, sobbed for, but all the tears in the world couldn't bring her back to life. Whatever she did, it's all over, it's all finished. So that's one major point. But that's not all. Not only do we overlook that we have to die and we're living for things that have no meaning, but we overlook the fact that Dhruvam Janma Mritasya Cha, that's the second line of the verse. Not only does everyone who is born have to die, but everyone who's already died, they have to get born again. Then Lord Krishna goes on to say, therefore, in the unavoidable discharge of your duty, you should not lament. This is a discussion of dharma. Arjuna was concerned about dharma, but Krishna was telling him that you have so many ideas of what is right and what is wrong, but your idea that we shouldn't fight and we shouldn't kill all these people, but anyway, they have to die. So for a kshatriya, sukhina kshatriya partha labhante yudhami drisham, a kshatriya should be happy to have the opportunity to fight, because in this way he discharges his duty. It may sound very strange to persons who are pacifists. They say there should be no war under any circumstances. It may sound very strange to the persons who promote non-violence, ahimsa. But there has to be a section of society who practice hinsa. To maintain peace in society, there has to be a section of society who are non-peaceful. That doesn't sound realistic, does it? It doesn't sound logical. But it's a fact. If there's no threat of violence, then violence will increase. If the police go on strike, if there's declared the police are going on strike at 7:16 this evening, which is according to that clock in 2 minutes' time, then say it takes just a few minutes to get out, then by 8:16 most of the shops in Britain would be looted, because they know there's no one to check me. No police will come. They're going on strike. That actually has happened several times in America. When the police go on strike, then all the shops get looted. That means that they're not being looted only because of the threat that you'll be arrested and thrown in prison by force. So here, the principle of dharma being higher than that of birth and death. These are overwhelming facts. Birth, death, in every society in the world, these are major events. You find that so many novels and dramas are written, and it's like the threat of death is what gives the adrenaline in the novel, how someone's running away or trying to avoid being killed. They're trying to kill someone else. Not just mundane novels, and Mahabharata also, Ram Ravana in Ramayana. Ram is trying to kill Ravana, and Ravana is trying to kill Ram. And then often the end of a novel is when the hero gets killed, and everyone feels very sad, even if it's only a novel, or it's not even a fact, it's just a, or even if it's some history that happened many years ago, there's a feeling of sadness or of loss. And when there's birth, everyone feels happy. How wonderful, a child has been born. Even though we know that the child will have to struggle so much. Sometimes it's abortion is justified, or attempted to be justified, by saying that, well, if the child was born, illegitimate child, and the mother's a drug addict, and might as well just abort the child. The child will be better off not alive than alive. Well, that could be said of pretty much everyone in that case. Why not just kill everyone? Because everyone's suffering in the world. So, just according to that logic, we should just kill everyone. Someone comes to the doctor and says, well, I'm feeling so much depression. Well, don't worry, I've got a pill that will stop your depression forever. It'll kill you. And that's going on also. There's the euthanasia. Doctors, they actually assist people who, I've got so much headache and I can't overcome it for years and years and I'd like to commit suicide. Okay, never mind. Just come with me and I'll give you a little injection and it'll all be over. You won't have any more headache. What they don't know is that there's a law of karma. And suicide in almost every case is sinful. There are some kinds of suicide which are not, but not many. And fasting till death for a spiritual reason, for the sake of liberation, that is maybe passable in some circumstances. Parikshit Maharaj, he did that, prayopavasa, that's called, to fast until death without taking even food or water. But anyway, he was going to be bitten by a snake bird, and he engaged himself in hearing about Krishna. So that's glorious. To sacrifice one's life for a higher cause, that is glorious. Nowadays people do that for their country. But to support, when the country, to die for your nation, if your nation's government supports slaughterhouses, and then there's nothing glorious about dying for such a sinful nation. So, practically, the Kshatriya Dharma is almost impossible to be a proper Kshatriya in the proper age, because if you have to support any political system that upholds sinful life, then you're not a Kshatriya, because a Kshatriya, he's supposed to uphold dharma. His violence is to uphold dharma in society. That's why Krishna, Bhagavan, wanted Yudhishthira on the throne and not Duryodhana. Both were capable as kings. But Duryodhana, he was adharmic. He was against Krishna. Whereas Yudhishthira, he was dharmic. So this is the consideration here. Birth and death. This is a major consideration. Everyone should think, I have to die. Why am I doing anything but acting in a manner that is conducive to my not getting born again? Everyone should consider, I have to die. So we put so much effort into living this life in a comfortable manner. So much effort goes into that. We're trying so hard. We work, we go to school and serious study for many years, and then to university to get a degree so we can get a job, so we can drive to work in a better car than other people do. Sit more comfortably in the traffic jam and come back to a house which has a few extra square feet than others. And anyway, grow old and die. So there was a bumper sticker: eat healthy, take proper exercise, die anyway. That's a fact. Everyone has to die. Oh, you don't like this lecture, do you? It's too morbid is the word. Morbid means concerned with death, but it's a fact which we don't like to talk about much. If we like to hear about Krishna, that's very good. But we should also hear what Krishna says here in Bhagavad Gita. What Krishna says, he's reminding us of these facts. Otherwise, if we're not aware of the necessity to live our lives in such a way that we don't get born again, then we may take, even hearing about Krishna, we may take as some kind of entertainment. I like hearing about Krishna, but I also like watching cricket on TV. That's also nice. I don't know in England so much, but in India, that's a major diversion. TV, cricket. Now they have a cricket league, paying huge amounts of money to the cricketers for hitting a ball, or throwing a ball, catching a ball. So, hearing about Krishna, nivritta tarshai rupa giyama anad bavosho dach chotra manovhiramat ka utama shloka gunana vanunat puman virajeta vina pashugnat. Who will not want to hear about Krishna? Those who are freed of material hankerings, they will want to glorify Krishna in the parampara system. Hearing about Krishna is like a medicine. What kind of medicine? What is this cure? It's a cure for death and rebirth. In this verse we're discussing today, death and rebirth is discussed. What is the medicine for that? Is there a medicine for AIDS? Did they discover any medicine for AIDS? No, not yet. Cancer, well, they have various treatments. What about the common cold? There's no hope of ever getting a cure for that, it seems. Although it's common, it's unpleasant. Is it not? Everyone gets colds. There's no hope of any, of stopping the common cold or flu. Or tuberculosis is back. It's been stopped by inoculation, but it's back. So there are various medicines. Here is the medicine to stop all diseases. People don't believe it. They think, it's not even a medicine for AIDS. It's not even a medicine for colds, to stop people getting colds. There's no vaccine you can take for colds. So, what's the hope of a any medicine that will stop birth and death. Well, it's a medicine coming from a completely different platform. It's not some biological injection or pill that's taken. In different ways medicines can be taken. By injection and by pill are the most common methods. But this medicine is taken through the ear, by hearing. It is the medicine that cures birth and death by altering the consciousness. This acts on the consciousness. Various medicines and tonics, they work on the immune system, the lymph system, the circulatory system, respiratory system. This medicine works on the consciousness. It is the consciousness that causes us to take birth and to die. Birth means we have to die, and death means we have to be born again, unless our consciousness is purified. So this medicine, hearing about Krishna, that will stop birth and death. And for persons who are nivritta trishna, for persons whose material desires are ended, then this hearing about Krishna will be very pleasing. But for persons who are still cultivating material desires, it will not be pleasing. They won't like to take this. So who will not like to hear about this? Topics of Krishna. Two kinds of people will not like to hear. Two kinds of butchers. The word is used. Pashugna. One is the person who is killing animals, animal eaters, grossly sinful persons. And there's another kind of animal killer, or the killer of the soul. Persons who, they are identifying with the body and therefore thinking that my benefit lies in physical health, earning money, position, prestige, and not understanding the fact that all this is ephemeral. Just like you see that now in this season, the dandelion, what's that called? That fluffy, what's that called? No, the dandelion has the, it goes, the seed is carried in the wind, it's like a little fluffy ball. Pollen, is it called? That's pollen. So that floats in the air. So you see it floats. And no one takes it very seriously. It's just floating in the air. So like that. We're all insignificant, ephemeral. Just here today, gone tomorrow. So realizing this, one will be serious about self-realization. Tasmad aparihariyate natong shochitam arhasi. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna starts on the platform of dharma. We have to execute dharma. And Lord Krishna brings Arjuna to the platform of param dharma. Dharma is executed on the platform of understanding that higher, more important even than life, and even than preserving our life, is to execute dharma. If one can execute dharma even by giving up his life, that is a higher principle. Higher principle even than preserving life is to protect dharma. Kshatriyas live on that basis. Kshatriyas, they're not like the soldiers in the modern age, where you see they go out and fight, it's a paid job. And they have to fight any damn war that the government dreams up for them. A Kshatriya fights on religious principles. They're not just some kind of barbarians who attack others for the sake of acquiring lands but they fight on religious principles for the sake of preserving dharma. So Arjuna was such a person. Arjuna was a highly principled person. That's the difference between him and Duryodhana. Duryodhana was interested in power for power's sake. And Yudhishthira was interested in power. He was also interested in power. The battle was over who is going to rule the world. But Yudhishthira was interested in power for Krishna's sake. We should rule on behalf of Krishna. So that's the difference. They're both interested in power. Power in itself is not a bad thing. Yudhishthira understood that he should take power because Krishna wanted him to. If Krishna didn't want him to, he wouldn't be interested. So the highest principle of dharma is to act in a manner that Krishna is pleased. So there are two threads going through this verse that we're discussing today. One is the inevitability of the inevitability of death, the inevitability of rebirth, and the higher principle that dharma has to be executed, the will of Krishna has to be executed. But most people, they don't even get to the first point. They don't even understand this very basic thing. It's that life is not about simply enjoying it. But life should be lived considering that every moment, smaran nityam anityatvam, at every moment we should consider everything here is temporary. Therefore, we should act in such a way, kuru punya aho ratra. Therefore, day and night we should act for punya. Punya here doesn't mean giving some charity or performing some pious activities so that we can go to Swarga Loka. The first line of this verse is that Tyajya Durjana Sangsargam, give up bad association. Don't associate with bad people. So the opposite side of that is Tato Du Sangha Utsrija. Yes, it's also in Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna says. Understanding that everything in this world is temporary, even the heavenly planets, going there, that's also temporary. Tato du sangha utsraja. Therefore, we should give up bad association. Bad association doesn't mean only thieves, burglars, smugglers, and drug addicts. That's not bad association means anyone who is not interested in self-realization. Anyone who thinks that there's anything more important than overcoming the problem of birth and death, that is bad association. So, tato du sangha utsraja satsu sajjeta buddhiman. One who is intelligent should associate with saintly persons. And who are those saintly persons? Those santa evasya chindanti manovya sangam uktibihi. Maybe you've heard the definition given by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur of a sadhu as one who cuts. He gave the example that the sadhu is like the in these Vedic sacrifices, they used to cut with a sword the sacrificial animal. So he said that a sadhu is like that. He cuts the accumulated material desires by his words. Santa evasya chindanti manovya sangamuktibhi. All the attachments in the mind which are obstacles to our understanding the truth of our eternal relationship with Krishna. He cuts that with his words. So understanding this, I have some reservations about sadhus who only tell nice stories about Krishna. You say, oh, sure, that's very good. We should tell nice stories about Krishna. Yes, we should do. But we should also discuss what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, so that we can become free from our material attachments, just like Krishna spoke to Arjuna and freed Arjuna from his material attachments and misunderstandings. Otherwise, the tendency is to think we hear nice stories and we remain attached to this material world. Because even though we're hearing nice stories, our attention remains, or our attachments remain rooted in this material world. And therefore, in this way, Krishna consciousness becomes some kind of pious activity. We're working, our main interest in life is how to make money and go on with our material life. And just like the Christians used to, they go to church on Sunday. So we go to the temple on Sunday and we hear some nice stories and we have a little chat with our nice friends who are all good people. They're all vegetarians. We have a nice discussion. We ask them about their health and their family and their friends, and we take some nice prasadam, and that's it. And we go home, and at home we're also good. We don't eat onions and we're vegetarians and we chant on our beads, but our attention is fully riveted on making money, maintaining our family, like this. So, alright, grihasthas make money and they maintain their families, but we should understand. Alright, you do that. Grihasthas, you do that. But all this will come to an end. Your job, your prestige, your bank balance, your family, all that will be finished very soon. Therefore, this, although the family duties have to be executed, we should understand this is like a bubble that will burst. The reality is that I'm not this body. Everything pertaining to this body is temporary. I have to serve Krishna. This is reality. Alright, so I'll finish there. And if there are any questions, comments, or protests, then please bring them up now. Yes, what is your question? How can we know what our nature is so that we can best serve Krishna? Well, it's not necessary to know what our conditioned nature is to chant the name of Krishna. Even without knowing what, even without analysis of our material nature, we can chant Hare Krishna. And if we don't chant Hare Krishna, then there's no service of Krishna anyway. So for everyone, whatever our conditioned state may be, we should all chant Hare Krishna and follow the basic process of sadhana bhakti as given to us in the parampara system by Srila Prabhupada. And we can best serve Krishna by following this basic process and helping within our capacity to spread the Sankirtan movement by distributing Srila Prabhupada's books and so on. As far as our duties within the Varnashram system, well, it's difficult to discharge in the modern age because everyone's forced to act like a shudra. Most people are earning money, doing a job that's called, in Bhagavatam, that's called svavriti. If one is maintained by others, that is called the occupation of a dog. That's for shudras. So, kalo shudra sambhava. In Kali Yuga, everyone's born as a Shudra. Of course, some vestiges of Vedic culture, as far as possible, we may maintain. Especially in Vedic culture, as in any civilized society, there is family life, so husband's duties, wife's duties, these should be upheld. That's another common misconception, that because I'm Krishna conscious, therefore I don't have to look after my family. I don't know how this came up, but well, the idea is that we're transcendental to all these things, so we don't have to bother with them. But that's not exactly what Krishna taught in Bhagavad Gita. That's a misunderstanding. One should cultivate a sense of detachment while performing one's duty in this world. Of course, Srila Prabhupada also wanted to establish Varnashram society, because the modern way of life is soul-killing. The association is very bad. The way of life is very bad, having to work so much. And it's not only soul-killing, it's also body-killing. The air we breathe, the food we eat, the water we drink is all poisoned. So it's difficult to have higher consciousness if everything we ingest is poisoned. So Srila Prabhupada wanted that. That's a great challenge for the members of his society, to set up these rural communities in which people can live simply and naturally and chant Hare Krishna. It's so far our devotees haven't shown much taste for that. Everyone's addicted to the modern way of life. People think that living without electricity is the worst thing that could possibly it's such a horrible idea. But actually the electricity has really messed up human life in so many ways. In normal human society, the day begins at sunrise and finishes at sunset. And you don't do much after sunset. It's a little difficult to move around, and so people sit in one place, and traditionally in Indian society they would listen to some Ram Katha or chant the name of the Lord together, and before very long they would take rest. They wouldn't be up till last night. I woke up at 12:30 and I saw all the blocks of flats around, so many lights still on. People are still awake. And then I awoke, bathroom call, then I went back to sleep and got up at 3:30 and saw all the lights are off now, and they're still off. The sun is rising gradually. What about at 6:30? The lights are off. No one's moving around. First one is about 8 o'clock. That was early for Sunday morning. 8 o'clock. That's early for anyone to get up. So this is actually a very unnatural way of life. It's not at all conducive to God realization. It's not even conducive to health, for bodily health. So the natural thing is that people should rise early, take rest early, lead a regulated life. But in the modern world, because there's electricity, then you try to fit everything into our own convenience, and there's no particular demarcation between day and night. So Varnashram society, and we're talking about our propensity and our inclination, and it doesn't make much difference, because we can't live a traditional life anyway. It's like leadership in the modern world. What is that leadership? The brahmanas, they are spiritual leaders. But how can you be a brahman in the modern age? Because brahmanas are supported by the public, but no one wants to do that nowadays. If a devotee is married and he just wants to teach, then for a start he won't be allowed to teach, because you have to teach this nonsense government syllabus. And no one wants to send their children to learn from a brahmana, because they don't want to make their children brahmanas, they want to make their children shudras. Because how can you learn a living if you only hear about spiritual subjects? So the modern society, it acts against brahmanas. There's no kshatriyas. If there were any kshatriya in the state, immediately all the slaughterhouses would be closed by force. But the modern governments, they are supporting, they're not only supporting, they're promoting these things. Parikshit Maharaj was willing to kill the personality of Kali for beating a cow. But the modern governments, they open slaughterhouses for killing cows, and millions of animals are killed. Animals, birds, every year in Britain alone, what to speak of all the different countries in the world, including India. Millions of chickens must be killed every year in India. Yeah, probably every day there's more than a million chickens killed in India. If you say that the population of India is well over a billion, so if you say, as a conservative estimate, that there's one chicken per every 1,000 people killed in India per day, that's over a million chickens a day. That's a lot, isn't it? So people are very sinful. If there's any actual kshatriya, he wouldn't allow this. He'd stop it immediately. The modern governments, businesses, they're all interested simply in cheating people, that's all. And people know, even they know it, but they just go along with it anyway. What can you do? They're not. So the real alternative, politically we can't stop this. But we can break out of it by setting up these farm communities in which we don't fit into the economic system. We have our own way of life based on living on the land and chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. We're not interested in so many luxuries that you have to work hard for, and we don't need motor cars and TVs, and we don't need all these things. We can live without them. To be satisfied simply to chant Hare Krishna, that is the purpose of these farm communities. Yes, anything else, please? In this day and age, how can we cultivate humility? Well, it's the same in any day and age. Of course, in the modern age, in the Western world, humility is promoted as being some kind of weakness or vice. The idea is that you have to show, you have to show yourself as being very aggressive and nasty, and politeness, respect for others, that's seen as a sign of weakness. This is a demoniac outlook. But humility will be respected even today by persons who have some good qualities. If you're polite and considerate to others, persons who are not completely rakshasas, they'll appreciate that. Of course, real humility is not simply a matter of saying please and thank you. But real humility is to understand that I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. Every other living being is also a servant of Krishna, and therefore I should respect them. True, humility comes by understanding I'm just totally insignificant. Everyone wants to think of themselves as very important. I'm just so insignificant. We're all very tiny living beings. Krishna is great. Yeah, anything else?
Maharaj, all of the devotees of congregation here are in the Grihastha Ashram. Can you give maybe five...
Are they?
Yes.
Everyone here is married?
Pretty much.
Well, yeah, well, you can encourage him to not get married also. dedicate life to cultivating Krishna consciousness.
Can you give five or six points which they can put into practice on a daily basis, which will help them, help us go towards Krishna consciousness?
Help everyone go toward Krishna? Well, the most important thing is to chant the names of Krishna, follow the four regulated principles, associate with devotees. You can follow all this beginner's guide to Krishna consciousness. That book is there. Do you all have that book? I think it's a well-known book.
It's a very good book.
So in that book I've given a basic guide of how to practice. And Nectar of Devotion, you can read this for further principles. Read Prabhupada's books. Distribute them. Take an active part in this Krishna conscious movement. Do something to spread this Krishna conscious movement. People are suffering without knowledge of Krishna. So try to help them. Srila Prabhupada stressed so much the distribution of these books. So you can do that. Isn't it? Anything else? Yes, please.
So is this like a dusht, you know, who's unfortunately you're associated with them and you can't really get out or you can't sustain with them? It's a kind of a catch-22 situation.
What's that? You're stuck with people you don't like?
You're stuck with somebody who's basically trying to rob you blind. And you can't really get out.
What are you talking about? Relatives, business partners?
Business partners.
Mm.
Then is it all right to pay him back in the coin which you
understand? It's very difficult for me to say in general terms when it's a very specific situation. What's the best way to ask? What's the best way to act? The thing is, everything we do should be favorable for cultivating remembrance of Krishna. So if we get entangled in some kind of complex situation, the nature of such entanglement is we get more and more and more and more and more entangled. So we should try to... Well, one perspective is we should try not to get involved or to cut out from complex situations. There's a warning in Chaitanya Charitamrita to avoid complex situations in this world because they just take up our whole consciousness. We can't think of anything else. On the other hand, one has to live in this world and you say, why, if someone's robbing you blind, then why should you tolerate it? So it's difficult to give exact advice without knowing the whole situation. But normally someone shouldn't be able to rob you. There should be some legal method to stop this. If you caught yourself in some badly worded contract, then you're stuck. Then you have to accept the consequences. I can't say without knowing more. So, shall we finish there? Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.